Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 413. Let us sing of Easter gladness that rejoices every day. Sing of hope and faith uplifted. Love has rolled the stone away. Lo, the promise and fulfillment. Lo, the man whom God hath made. Seen in glory of an Easter, crowned with light that cannot fade. Hymn number 413. The scriptural will be given by Dale from Virginia.
John, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I pray for them. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Jude. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy
kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 18. Be firm and be faithful. Desert not the right. The brave become bolder the darker the night. Then up and be doing, though cowards may fail. Thy duty pursuing, dare all and prevail. Hymn number 18.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning service, the Easter Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss the week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you may find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number, so children anywhere in the world can attend by telephone. Many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, and they do attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do come in person, you can bring the whole family. We have 21 different websites, all in different languages, that contain the very finest of Christian Science literature. And this is our healing mission, to get the Christian Science word out to as many people as possible around the world. And as a result, many people have found Christian Science. They have found one or more of our websites, and in a language that they can easily understand. Everything that we provide on all of our websites is free of charge and comes with the love of this church. I would like to point out now one of the articles that's currently featured on the English language website, entitled "The Resurrection and the Life" by Mary Baker Eddy. This was an editorial that appeared in a Christian Science Sentinel in the 1890s. And if you ever wanted to know what the resurrection should mean to all of us, this article explains it. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And this reading will be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
From page 623, Consumption Quickly Cured. I became interested in Christian Science nearly 5 years ago, through the healing of my wife of what the doctors called consumption in its last stages. I had tried everything I could get in the way of materia medica, and every doctor would tell me nearly the same story about the case. At last, they recommended for her only a higher, drier climate, and when she would be at her worst, to give her something to quiet her. I tried different climates, but she was no better, indeed worse. At last, she struggled along until the 1st of March, 1899. She had taken to her bed again. For 2 days and nights, she suffered, and I called a physician. He came and diagnosed the case and said that he could do nothing for her but give her some morphine tablets to make her rest. I gave her two of them according to direction, and just before the time to give her the third, she called me to her bedside and said, "Don't give me any more of that stuff, for it does me more harm than good." So I turned and placed them in the fire, though I did not then know anything about Christian Science. We had heard of it, but that was all. I gave her the last tablet at 8 o'clock that night, and about 9 o'clock the next day, a lady who had been healed in Christian Science visited her and introduced her to this great truth. She accepted it and thought she would try it. The lady loaned her Science and helped. She got the book about 10 o'clock that day and read it until dinner was called. She ate a hearty dinner, the first in about 3 days, and that same evening she dressed herself, walked into the dining room, ate a hearty supper, and enjoyed it. She slept well that night. She borrowed this lady's copy of Science and Health 2 hours each day for 8 days and was healed. The first day she read Science and Health, she weighed about 95 pounds. 3 months later, she weighed 135 pounds. From AJD, Houston, Texas.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 2 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Unreality. The golden text is from John. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The responsive reading is from Psalms. "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot.
The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage.
I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope.
For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Craig will now read.
The Bible. Matthew. "It came to pass, when Jesus was finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. John. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But he spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Mark. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away, and delivered him to Pilate. John. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Acts. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us for an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. John. Because I live, ye shall live also.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. This is life eternal, says Jesus. Is, not shall be. And then he defines everlasting life as a present knowledge of his Father and of himself, the knowledge of love, truth, and life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The scriptures say, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, showing that truth is the actual life of man, but mankind objects to making this teaching practical. Question: What is life? Answer: Life is divine principle, mind, soul, spirit. Life is without beginning and without end. Eternity, not time, expresses the thought of life, and time is no part of eternity. Life is divine mind. Life is not limited. Death and finiteness are unknown to life. We acknowledge that the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection serve to uplift faith to understand eternal life, even the allness of soul, spirit, and the nothingness of matter. The relinquishment of all faith in death and also of the fear of its sting would raise the standard of health and morals far beyond its present elevation and would enable us to hold the banner of Christianity aloft with unflinching faith in God, in life eternal. Our Master reappeared to his students. To their apprehension, he rose from the grave on the third day of his ascending thought, and so presented to them the certain sense of eternal life. The Jews who sought to kill this man of God showed plainly that their material views were the parents of their wicked deeds. When Jesus spoke of reproducing his body, knowing as he did that mind was the builder, and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," they thought that he meant their material temple instead of his body. To such materialists, the real man seemed a specter, unseen and unfamiliar. And the body, which they laid in a sepulcher, seemed to be substance. This materialism lost sight of the true Jesus, but the faithful Mary saw him, and he presented to her, more than ever before, the true idea of life and substance. Because of mortals' material and sinful belief, the spiritual Jesus was imperceptible to them. The higher his demonstration of divine science carried the problem of being, and the more distinctly he uttered the demands of its divine principle, truth and love, the more odious he became to sinners and to those who, depending on doctrines and material laws to save them from sin and sickness, were submissive to death as being in supposed accord with the inevitable law of life. Jesus proved them wrong by his resurrection and said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Jesus' spiritual origin and understanding enabled him to demonstrate the facts of being, to prove irrefutably how spiritual truth destroys material error, heals sickness, and overcomes death. The Master said plainly that physique was not spirit, and after his resurrection, he proved to the physical senses that his body was not changed until he himself ascended, or in other words, rose even higher in the understanding of Spirit God. Jesus' unchanged physical condition after what seemed to be death was followed by his exaltation above all material conditions. And this exaltation explained his ascension and revealed unmistakably a probationary and progressive state beyond the grave. Jesus was the way. That is, he marked the way for all men. In his final demonstration, called the Ascension, which closed the earthly record of Jesus, he rose above the physical knowledge of his disciples, and the material senses saw him no more. His students then received the Holy Ghost. By this is meant that by all they had witnessed and suffered, they were roused to an enlarged understanding of divine science, even to the spiritual interpretation and discernment of Jesus' teachings and demonstrations, which gave them a faint conception of the life which is God. Through all the disciples experienced, they became more spiritual and understood better what the Master had taught. His resurrection was also their resurrection. It helped them to raise themselves and others from spiritual dullness and blind belief in God into the perception of infinite possibilities. They needed this quickening, for soon their dear Master would rise again in the spiritual realm of reality and ascend far above their apprehension. As the reward for his faithfulness, he would disappear to material sense in that change which has since been called the Ascension. In our age, Christianity is again demonstrating the power of divine principle, as it did over 1900 years ago, by healing the sick and triumphing over death. In the sacred sanctuary of truth are voices of solemn import, but we heed them not. It is only when the so-called pleasures and pains of sense pass away in our lives that we find unquestionable signs of the burial of error and the resurrection to spiritual life. Truth will be to us the resurrection and the life, only as it destroys all error and the belief that mind, the only immortality of man, can be fettered by the body and life be controlled by death. To mortal mind, matter is substantial and evil is real. This carnal, material mentality, misnamed mind, is mortal. Therefore, man would be annihilated were it not for the spiritual, real man's indissoluble connection with his God, which Jesus brought to light. In his resurrection and ascension, Jesus showed that a mortal man is not the real essence of manhood, and that this unreal material mortality disappears in presence of the reality. Truth demonstrated is eternal life.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 213. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for time to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn number 213.
He gave to me with me and I am his own, his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known, has ever.
Let's now sing hymn number 370. We are hid with Christ forever in the Father's holy plan. In this pure eternal union, we behold the perfect man. And we know that sin can never overthrow the sacred rod of dominion over evil. We are hid with Christ in God. Hymn number 370.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Isaiah, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen.